The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. This is the Freeman Report with your host, James Freeman, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Freeman Report. It is Monday, the 18th of March, 2024. I'm your host, James Freeman, and I hope you all had a great weekend, whatever you were doing. I was busy riding across Wales this weekend with James the Northerner, who I met in the TNT live chat. We sped across the Brecon Beacons yesterday on our motorbikes, James on his Triumph and me on my Yamaha Tracer. It wasn't a bad day for March. Actually, a little drizzle and a slight nip in the air, but the sun came out for our arrival on the west coast of Wales in the seaside town of Aberystwyth, where we ate fish and chips by the pier. So all in all, a glorious day of motorcycling, no social media, no silly stories in the press, just our bikes and the road. Glorious. Now, if you've got a bike and you live in the UK and you'd like to join us, please do get in touch. I've had a couple of emails now from people who might be joining us. Just email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live and put motorcycle or motorbike in this subject so I know that it's what it's about. So what has been happening while I took some time out over the weekend? Well, Rishi Sunak has apparently said this is our bounce back year. What a comedian. Nigel Farage is going to lead reform at this year's general election. And Kate Middleton is still missing. Although, according to The Sun, she was apparently spotted by members of the public visiting her favourite Windsor Farm shop. Yes, of course she was. So I missed nothing then. Just the same old nonsense, either total garbage or stories telling us what we know already. The story about missing Kate is an intriguing distraction, though, as although I've got no interest whatsoever in the royal family, the whole thing is very curious. I mean, why doesn't she just come out and make an appearance and put all of the speculation to bed? I've got no idea why they don't just do that. The photo fiasco was bizarre, to say the least, so much so that I can only conclude that it was done on purpose. I don't know what else to think. I mean, who edits family photos in this way, cutting hands and body parts and then stitching them back together? Seriously, who does that? Nobody does that. So it's not a surprise there is worldwide speculation now about the whereabouts of Kate. I've seen many conspiracy theories from she's been murdered, she's had a breakdown, William has got some other bird pregnant, and all sorts of other theories. I think Christine Hart, who was on my show on Friday, said that she's heard rumours that she's vaccine injured. Who knows? I don't think anybody knows what is going on at the moment. But the question I'm asking is, where have all of the royals gone? Forget all of the public statements about where Kate is. The fact is that they're all missing from public gaze. Where are they? Are they even in the country still? Are we about to go to war or something and the royal family has been evacuated? Because putting aside all of the theories, the fact remains that most of the senior royals have all disappeared off the face of the earth. I checked the Royal Diary this morning. Yes, you can do that online, apparently. I didn't know that, but you can. And it seems that Anne and Edward are the only senior royals doing any public events at the moment for the last couple of weeks, and certainly for the next couple of weeks. The Queen is due to appear in public on the 28th of March. That's a week on Thursday. But will that even happen? We've had or heard nothing about how the king is doing health-wise after the announcement came that he has cancer, and we still don't know what type of cancer he has. Is the king about to die? Are we going to have another state funeral this year? It is all very strange, which is made worse by legacy media stories written to explain the photo editing as just one of those things, you know, something that amateur photographers do. And the only reason I'm talking about this is because my TikTok is being flooded with all manner of ridiculous stories. I keep on seeing pictures from outside Buckingham Palace from earlier in the year and, you know, a couple of years ago, as if it's happening now, like there's going to be an announcement. And the fact is that it's weird that the royals aren't doing anything to squash all of the speculation. That is the strangest part of all of this. Why would they allow worldwide speculation to grow to ridiculous proportions unless something big is up? Let's just hope we get an announcement soon, because I think the internet will literally explode if nothing new comes to light. Anyway, back to today's show, as my first guest in this hour of the show is investigative journalist and new TNT host, Johnny Vedmore. Johnny starts his new show tomorrow, which will broadcast from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. I've known Johnny for quite some time now. I interviewed him about 3 years ago. That's when I first met him. He doesn't live far from me. He lives 20, 25 minutes away from me. He's a thoroughly good egg, and it's great. He's great at getting at the truth. In fact, I wonder if he knows where Kate is. Maybe that should be my first question to Johnny. My second guest this hour is Dr. Mark Richards. He's the author of Nobody Wants You Healthy, Achieving Better Health by Avoiding the Corruptions in Modern Medical Science. So I'll be talking all about that with Dr. Mark Richards in the second part of this hour. If you want to get in touch, then please email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And as always, please get over to tntradio.live and join in the conversation by clicking on the chat icon. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report for today's News Talk TNT.
Delivering the facts.
The source I can trust.
Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Basil. You are, of course, our political editor. What stories have you got for us today? I mean, Basil, do you know where Kate is?
Well, she was seen at this farm shop, but apparently that has only fueled further speculation. One thing you won't hear me talk about very much, and certainly not in the sycophantic tones you get on the BBC, is the royals. I very largely have no interest in that particular pantomime, which continues to be shoved down the throats of the British people as if it's important. We've already got one unelected person in high office in the shape of Rishi Sunak, and now two with the King, who, as you say, may be on his last legs. What did strike me in your opening monologue was there that you referenced the Queen in passing, and of course that now means Camilla. Camilla Shand, as she was born, then Camilla Parker Bowles, because we were so used to the Queen automatically meaning the late Elizabeth II. And of course, when Camilla first came on the scene, there were headlines, Camilla can never be Queen and all this, and perhaps she would be Queen Consort, or there would be some sort of morganatic solution to her accession. But the consort was very quickly dropped. And we now simply have the King and Queen, and she is the Queen.
Yeah, and like you, Basil, I don't spend much time at all referencing the royal family. I'd rather not get involved, like you said, in that pantomime. However, I do wonder, for me, all of these theories about what's going on with Kate and all that, I just kind of blank all of that out. But the question does remain that all of the royal family virtually have just disappeared. And it's very, very odd that they're not quelling this speculation what's going on. Maybe they can't. I mean, my question is, are they still in the country? Is there something up? Have the royal family been evacuated? I don't know. But my tinfoil hat is receiving messages from the heavens. But anyway, let's talk about serious stuff,
very
Basil.
Quickly. I mean, Andrew can't show his face in public, obviously. He's completely finished. The King has cancer. Usually when you hear that about somebody, unfortunately, it means that the chances are their lifespan is going to be considerably foreshortened. Princess Anne and Edward, yeah, they're continuing to do the rounds, but William has disappeared along with his wife. And of course, Harry left the country some time ago. So, yes, the whole roadshow is teetering on the brink, as they say.
And of course, you know, like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we've also had that suicide as well, someone in the royal family. So there's a lot of very, very odd things going on, which does, you know, it is. I am curious to find out what's going on. Anyway, I'm sure we'll find out in time, Basil. What political stories have you got for us today?
Well, all the talk in Westminster over the weekend was of the plot to topple Rishi Sunak, which Suella Braverman has come out this morning and described as the Westminster psychodrama, claiming it's only a few MPs who are spinning against the Prime Minister. Sunak, of course, had a dreadful week last week with the Frank Hester revelations, and is unelected. Remember, he was effectively crowned by the Parliamentary Conservative Party. No vote took place. Now there are moves afoot to replace him with sword carrier Penny Mordaunt, but a legal challenge is due to be mounted by a Conservative Democratic Association if Mordaunt is ushered into place by MPs without a vote among the party membership. So the infighting continues. Sunak, of course, was widely predicted to announce an election, but he's postponed it. I'm always reminded of Jim Callaghan in 1979, when he was urged to go to the country and undoubtedly would have won in the autumn of 78. He waited until spring 79, Margaret Thatcher won, and the rest is history. Sunak is hoping for an improvement in economic conditions before going to the country, but a lot of commentators say he is doomed anyway. All this while there is zero enthusiasm for a Starmer government. The vast majority of the population have completely lost faith in the two-party system, and 60% more people this time round than last time round have an overall pessimistic view of the future. We want an alternative, James, don't we? We want major change. We need a political earthquake. Perhaps George Galloway was the harbinger of that change.
Yeah, and I think from Rishi Sunak's point of view, look, why go to the polls now? You know you're going to be devastated now. There's not much hope, I think, going forward, but something might change. Something might change. We might go to war or something like that. For Labour, I think as time goes on, things get worse. You can see the challenge coming from George Galloway to a lot of Labour front benches now. But this whole thing about replacing Sunak now is just a joke, really. I cannot see it happening because it's already a bit of a joke, the fact that we've got an unelected prime minister. Are they really going to get away with putting someone in, Penny Mordaunt, who nobody has voted on? I mean, at least Rishi lost the election. He did actually go to the Tory members and ask them to vote. It's all looking a bit chaotic,
but
like
very
you,
shabby. It all looks very shabby.
It is, isn't it?
You ask me, James. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't have leaders appointed by backroom deals as Sunak was. You know, we need a clean break, frankly. I was saying to Penny, to Sonia earlier this morning, this is far and away the worst set of politicians in living memory. There is nobody other than perhaps Galloway, and I'm rather fond of some of his cohorts like Chris Williamson as well. There is nobody with any real leadership skills or oratory. There is nobody who offers any meaningful alternatives to the British people, who can galvanise them with their words, who offers genuine unity and an optimistic way forward. All the major parties offer the same thing, which is austerity, ramping up tensions with Russia, support for genocide and authoritarianism in the place of freedom. And we want an end to all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, I've got my criticisms of reform under Richard Tice. They have got some good candidates. Ben Habib, I keep on mentioning him, but he is a great candidate. If Nigel comes back, which it looks like he's going to lead the party into the election, I think they could actually do an awful lot of damage and get quite a few seats. I think the real test for me, though...
Yeah, I was just going to say the political landscape is going to be very interesting in the next election because there are going to be a lot of left-wing independent candidates, some supported by OCISA, others Workers' Party of Great Britain candidates, and they're coordinating to stand against vulnerable, genocide-supporting Labour MPs like Wes Streeting and Keir Starmer himself in a bid to win the seat. But of course, if they don't win the seat, they may well succeed in depriving the Labour MP of the seat and thereby handing it either to the Conservatives or possibly the Liberal Democrats, who knows? Similarly, with reform, you've got a situation where they're going to do best in Conservative-held seats, taking large bites out of the Conservative support and possibly, if not winning the seat themselves, handing it to the Labour Party. So the electoral map of the UK with our dreadfully imperfect first-past-the-post system means we're going to see a real patchwork quilt at the next election. And the longer Sunak leaves it before going to the country, the better organised the independents are going to be. Now, this may not be part of his thinking, but if I was in Conservative Party HQ as a strategist, certainly if I was in Labour Party HQ, I'd be very keen to get on with the election because the longer the year goes on, the more organised everybody else is going to be. And we could see hundreds of Rochdales up and down the country. I certainly hope so, James.
The other thing, Basil, to take into account here is people always assume that Nigel Farage takes votes from the Conservatives. That's not entirely true, because in the 2019 general election, we got as many votes. I was in the Brexit Party then. We got as many votes we took from Labour as we did from Conservatives. And for example, my constituency of Isloyne, the Conservative vote actually stayed exactly the same. And then my 14%, which I got in the general election, the Labour candidate lost 14%. So this assumption that it's only because, look, especially given the fact that Keir Starmer clearly is not exciting anybody who's looking for an alternative. So, you know, I can bet your bottom dollar that the strategy that Reform UK are going to use isn't just going to be targeting the Tories. They're going to be targeting Labour votes as well. I've got no doubt about that at all. So, yeah. I think you're right, it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we can see, I've no doubt we'll see in a lot of constituencies a proper four-way fight or even five or six-way. In other words, Conservatives, Reform, Labour, the independent left or Workers' Party candidate, Liberal Democrats and Greens, plus possibly others as well. So, yeah, the map of Britain could look very different after the next general election. I hope so. I want to see a hung parliament and then major political reform in the shape of proportional representation.
Exactly. And I think that's what the country needs now. This whole, game of tennis between red and blue teams is just got to stop now. We've got a lot of the electorate that are not represented in Westminster. We need that to change. We desperately need that to change. Otherwise, I fear for the country at large. Anyway, Basil, a great conversation there. Obviously, you'll be with me in the second hour of the show again, so I'm sure we can find another topic to have a good debate on. Thank you very much, Basil Valentine. Right, okay. After the break here, I'm going to have Johnny Vedmore on with me. He's an old friend of mine. He's an investigative journalist, and he's got some great news. He is a new TNT host. So we're going to be talking all about that, what to expect from his new show, which starts tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So don't go anywhere. Stay with me, James Freeman, on today's News Talk TNT.
Right is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website. thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's. The truth is, Parkinson's disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them. Worldwide, over 10 million people are living with Parkinson's, a neurological disease that affects movement. And with so many places to search for information, it can be difficult to know where to begin. The Parkinson's Foundation has answers. Answers for everyone in the fight. We can help you understand the disease, help you find expert care, give you tips for living a better life, share the latest research, help you find local support, and there's a free helpline you can call. Find your answers and join us in the fight against Parkinson's. To learn more, please go to parkinson.org or call 1-800-4PD-INFO. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives together.
JDRF's vision is to create a world without type 1 diabetes. The type 1 diabetes community is at the heart of everything JDRF does. We were founded by the type 1 diabetes community. In the main, we are governed by the type 1 diabetes community, we're energised by the type 1 community, and we're accountable to the type 1 diabetes community. It's on their behalf that we exist, and it's on their behalf that we must succeed. JDRF exists to rid the world of type 1 diabetes. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. So for us, that means rallying all the resources and all the people and all the organisations required to make that a reality as quickly as possible. The world's best researchers, exciting innovative companies, and the passion of the type 1 diabetes community, then delivered through the health system so lives get better every day, day after day, until the day we find a cure. To everybody in the type 1 diabetes community, no matter your age or stage with the disease, whether you were diagnosed recently or a long time ago, we need you to know that we are here working on your behalf to deliver a world without type 1 diabetes as quickly as we can. Thank you to everybody who's supported JDRF in so many ways. You are making our vision of a world without type 1 diabetes possible.
Our next steps to space.
This time we go back to the moon to learn to live, to work, to invent, to create.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome back. I'm looking at the live chat here. I'm quite enthusiastic to see lots of motorcycle talk here. Well done, guys. If any of you've got a bike and you live in the UK, please do give me an email, as we'd love to form some kind of TNT biker group. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Right, anyway, I'm digressing. My next guest, Johnny, is with us now. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, how's it going? You good today?
I am good today. Like I said, I've been out on my motorbike yesterday, riding across Wales, went all the way to Aberystwyth for fish and chips by the pier. It was a glorious day. So what's not to like?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Especially I like the idea of biking across Wales. That'd be a beautiful sight. Beautiful.
Yeah, we can jump on the back if you want, Johnny. Although you might have to romantic. Hold on for your life. How are you doing anyway, Johnny? You've got some news for us, haven't you?
Yeah, it's all kicking off now. It's all getting dangerous here on TNT because there's a few people joining, and I'm one of the people joining the TNT crew to present a show between 4 and 6 every weekday. Really buzzed about it, really looking forward to it. I mean, the guys are fantastic. I mean, who are already on TNT, the hosts. I don't want to blow smoke anywhere there, James, but you know, I'm in fine company, so really looking forward to it. Buzzed.
Yeah, and I think you're a good fit actually, Johnny, because obviously, you know, you like to turn over stones, as I put it. You like to turn over stones and see what's underneath what everyone else is talking about. I'm sure most people know who you are, Johnny, but I wonder if you wouldn't mind just telling the viewers, because I'm sure there must be people watching who never heard of you and don't know what you do. So tell us what you do, Johnny.
Well, I am an investigative journalist, a genealogist, a historian of sorts. And I basically, I write long form articles is my main gig, where I delve into the history that no one really knows about. I go looking for the information that no one else can find. So, for instance, with Klaus Schwab, I looked back into his ancestry to find out who his father was when it was unknown and discovered he was working on the Nazi atomic bomb program during World War II. And obviously that's hushed up for PR reasons, etc. But I go looking for that sort of information. I go searching through history and I try and bring context to history and to things that have happened throughout history. So that's my idea. I'm a founder of newspaste.com, and basically there I have a range of content, videos, podcasts, the Newspaste podcast, of course, and like I say, long form investigative research.
Yeah, and Johnny, I'm really looking forward to you doing some of your deep dives on some of the political figures of today. Rishi Sunak would be a great one, his business links, his family, and what's going on behind the scenes there. Keir Starmer as well. It would be great to get some really in-depth profiles of these guys in terms of, you know, who are these people? Where have they come from? Where were they educated? Who are their family? What business links have they got? And all of this kind of thing. I think that would really add a lot of value, I think, to our analysis as we go forward this year towards, we've got a big election here in the UK and across the pond as well, with Biden looking like he's gonna stumble with his Zimmer frame to this year's election. Johnny, we're going to take a quick break now, but don't go anywhere, because we're going to talk about some of the work that you've been doing recently, what you've found, and of course, you know, you've got documentaries you've made recently. So we're going to talk all about that after this very quick short break right here on TNT.
I got news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. The mainstream press in the West is once again being exposed for twisting the truth to suit the establishment's anti-Trump narrative. The White House says it has not and will not try and talk France or any other NATO country out of sending troops to Ukraine, if that's what they want to do. And US President Joe Biden is reportedly growing anxious and angry about his plummeting popularity and the increasing likelihood that he will be defeated in November's election.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Right, so Johnny, you're always really, really busy. Tell us what you've been up to recently and what kind of things you've been publishing.
Oh, I've been really, I've got two articles that are nearly complete that are really, really interesting. One kind of goes back in time and looks at a pandemic in 1910, 1911, and the similarities between that and the COVID pandemic. And another one is really an extension of my Schwab research. But one of the projects I've been doing recently is who do they think they are, which is the looking into the family ancestry and the history of and mapping out the full ancestry of some of the biggest influencers, most powerful players in the world. I started off with a kind of like a neutral person. I started off with Jordan B. Peterson, and the first episode's already out. I think the first one actually aired on TNT Cinema yesterday. And you go back through the history and you discover that, of course, he's related to kings and queens. But which kings and queens? Well, it goes far back as emperors. We go before Christ in the second episode. And he's, of course, related to the Merovingian kings. One of his direct relations is a woman called Heleva de Falaise. She's famous because she's William the Conqueror's mother. And you know, there's what it is a project to see if that supposition that gets put forward is true. You know, these people are all from wealthy family, powerful families. These people who get put in front of us are all of the kings and queens and emperors of the past. And so working on that, I decided to develop who do they think they are. And it's a really interesting, a proper mapping out of the full ancestry. And I don't know what I'm ever going to find when I do that sort of stuff. You know, you go back into it with the idea that I'm just going to look, I'm just going to hunt, and whatever I find, I find. And what I find found a lot of the time with family history is that we are related to so many people, of course. So we have millions of ancestors. You know, I try and explain you have two parents, four grandparents, eight great-grandparents, 16 great-great-grandparents, 32, and et cetera, exponential growth up until the point when you're on a million people. So in actual fact, we're related to loads of people. But it's really interesting the specific lines that come up during this. So that's one of the projects I've been working on. Been really fun too. Really fun project.
And Johnny, what are your thoughts? Because some of the stories you tell me about, I forget what's that journalist called, the BBC journalist, Mariana Spring, you've even got a story about where she comes from. It strikes me that a lot of these people that you talk about, they come from families that have been involved in kind of with the establishment or part of the establishment for many generations. Which kind of begs the question, you know, do you think that there are these families within the establishment and there's very, very little movement between us plebs and us peasants and the establishment? Are things actually quite stable? Because, of course, you know, Klaus Schwab, his family were involved with the Nazis. And you find that once you start digging into a lot of these people that are part of the establishment now, it seems to have been so for very long. Is there a hard wall between us and the establishment, do you think?
I think there's multiple hard walls. It's really hard, you know, it's really hard. Still, if you go back to the 1500s, there's less people on Earth. And the extremely powerful people keep their power very close. But what happened was this expanse of back then people were having 5 to 10 babies per generation. And so that power slowly dispersed to the point where by the 1700s, 1800s, a lot of the people who were related to these big people and these big players don't actually know they were related to those big players anymore. They're so detached. But it seems, and this is just my own what I see from my research so far, it seems that someone else, or at least there's a powerful elite that knows these lines really well, and what they do is they select the ones that have the most crossover, so you know and only attached to that powerful family by there, but also that one, and the more powerful families you're related to, the more power you later have in down the line, intergenerationally speaking, like with the Queen, for instance, you know, King Charles, you know that all of the ancestors will be really high up level royals, going back to Prussian royalty and all of this. So you know that their lineage is well known, well documented. And, you know, we're not going to become a royal anytime soon. The chances that there's going to be a new royal family taking over Britain is very unlikely. And they do. I think there's interesting, one of the things I say there's an interesting link, or I point out there's an interesting link, is that some of the establishment seems to be separate, even though there's a hard wall, there's separate establishments within the establishment. So there's like the ones that go back to the Prussian dynasty and the ones that go back to the British dynasty, and they all have to find their place in the modern world. A lot of the time, the best way to do that is cross over and marry. And then there's the dynasty creators, like, for instance, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is one of those, because he, even though his the Kennedy family had really had to work hard to get up to the top, they married, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. married into a family that's related to a lot of the Prussian royalty. So they create dynasties by choosing and selecting partners, and then cross over these dynasties to gain, make sure their next generations will gain more power and more influence.
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it, how people look at the royal family, the Windsors, but they rebranded around the start of the, I think it was the start of the 20th century, didn't they? What was their their original name? It was there was a German family.
Saxe von Gothenburg or something along those lines. I think it's a Saxe von Gothenburg family. Yeah, they had to rebrand themselves because, of course, it didn't sound... There's a really interesting point in British history where the Glorious Revolution happened, you know... William and Mary get put on the throne and no one complains about it, but really that was a serious takeover by a foreign power in Britain, and since then, you know, they've had to hide their relations to the past because it all links to Germany and it all links to all of these rich elites of the past that we feel disconnected from. So they have to rebrand themselves, and a lot of power now is about PR, is about keeping in line, keeping people being on your side, creating, you know, some sort of drama to distract you and connect you with these people, where in actual fact they're from many they're big families from who have been chosen, you know, and they're not from round here. They're not from round here, mate.
they're not local. They're not local, are they?
They are now.
Johnny, I'm really looking forward to your show. I think I got it wrong in my introduction. You're not starting tomorrow. I think you're going to start later this week, aren't you? Think Thursday or Friday?
Yeah,
Wednesday or Thursday, maybe.
Some tech issues and some other stuff, but yeah, looking at Wednesday, Thursday, hopefully Wednesday. Let's cross our fingers and let's hope for Wednesday, but we want to be ready and perfect for when we go out, so there's some setting up to do yet.
Yeah. Well, Johnny, listen, I'm really looking forward to it. I will be tuning in when you do start. So keep us updated on X when you're going to start. I'll announce it on the show here as well. Johnny Vedmore, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Right. Okay. We're going to take a quick short break now. And when we come back, I will have Dr. Mark Richards. He's a best-selling author. And we're going to be talking. He was a physician to the White House for many, many years. He's a best-selling author. We're going to be talking about the corruptness of the medical system. So don't miss that. Stay tuned with me, James Freeman, on today's News Talk TNT.
The challenges our planet's animals are facing sometimes feel a bit heavy.
The animals haven't eaten in a day, 2 days, they haven't drank anything. They're cold, they're dehydrated.
As soon as we started our descent, everywhere I could see was mud, just absolutely mud.
You know, the country has been in prolonged drought so long, it was like a tinderbox waiting to go up.
Okay, very heavy. Each of us wants to be part of the solution, and we can be. Remember that there's good happening right now. At home.
All right, we were able to get into your unit and we have all four of your cats. So,
okay.
And around the world. For any animal in any disaster. So let's focus on that, right? Be part of the solution, one rescue at a time. Search ifa.org/disaster ready.
Our beautiful world is changing, withering, dying. By the hands of those who don't value nature, even though we all depend on it for life itself. But there is hope. Together with caring friends, the Nature Conservancy can restore our lands and save our wildlife with big solutions only nature can provide. To learn more, visit nature.org today.
The Freeman Report on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right. Well, I'm intrigued to learn what it's like to be a physician to the White House and all the shenanigans that I'm sure must be going on there. My next guest has done that for many years, and he's also a best-selling author, Dr. Mark Richards. Welcome to the Freeman Report.
Thank you, James.
Mark, I'm sure I haven't done you justice there in terms of the introduction. I wonder if you wouldn't mind just starting by telling us a little bit about yourself. I know you've written lots of great books, which we're going to talk about. But tell us about your experience in the White House as well.
Well, the experience is probably a bit less glamorous than people imagine. It's like being on call, basically, to treat the first family. And so, you know, you get phone calls at unexpected times and you need to treat the usual things that you would expect a plastic surgeon to have to treat, you know, cuts, scrapes, burns, that sort of thing, you know, and consult on other issues for them. And the good thing about it was, you know, I could wander around the White House and I had an all access pass. So I got to walk around places most people never get to see when they do a tour. And that was fun. And the food's pretty good there too. I have to tip my hat to the chef in the mess hall there. He does a great job.
Fantastic. And tell us about your books that you've written.
So the book I wrote is called Nobody Wants You Healthy: Achieving Better Health by Avoiding the Corruptions in Modern Medical Science. And I have a website, nobodywantsyouhealthy.com, people can go to. It sells on Amazon, but the website has interesting podcasts and also interview videos. It starts with the story of how in the 1960s, we developed plastics. And that changed the world completely. Instead of having just cloth seats or leather seats in your car, you could have vinyl seats. Instead of having rubber tubes from IV bottles, you had plastic tubes. But the compound that makes phthalates, plastics act like plastics, are phthalates, which are hormone disrupting chemicals. And we now manufacture 200 times the toxic dose of that for every man, woman, child on the planet globally, annually. You there?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's all about plastics. And of course, we have seen a revolution, haven't we, in recent decades in terms of plastic seems to be everywhere. I mean, do you think, the first question that comes to my mind anyway, is obviously we're seeing this whole ideology, trans ideology, where people are suddenly unsure about what sex they are. I mean, to me, I've always thought it is a cultural thing. But is there any evidence to suggest maybe it is something else?
I think it's both. I think you're right. And also, as my book points out, when you have all these plastics and you have these hormone disruptions, you're causing massive changes in the human body. So you're causing massive inflammation, for example, that leads to heart attacks and strokes and dementia. You're having metabolic issues that lead to obesity and diabetes. And this is very profitable for the pharmaceutical industry, but very bad for people. The other thing is that some of these phthalates or endocrine disrupting chemicals like PBS go across the placenta. And when they go across the placenta, they're called neuroendocrine disruptors, and they change the way your brain is wired in utero. So we know from animals, if you expose them to an environment rich in phthalates and PBS, that the offspring, significant numbers of them, won't demonstrate the typical behavior of the male or female of that species. So they're not really transgender, they're just non-gender. And I'm sure that this is affecting children to different degrees these days. And it's not that they're trans, it's just they assume if they don't feel like a girl, they must be a boy. And if they don't feel like a boy, they must be a girl. And that's completely wrong. And unfortunately, the adults in the room are not helping the situation at all. They're encouraging this sort of incorrect scientific behavior, almost a psychiatric delusional behavior. The actual rate of men being wired as women is probably about 1 in 3,000, according to a study done in the 1990s, early 90s. And the majority of those people choose not to transition to a woman. Some are straight, some are gay, some just like dressing as women, and a small percentage actually want to have a transition. But that's 1 in 3,000, and you're looking at probably 1 out of 300,000. That would actually want to transition. Today, it's fad, like you said, and it's being pushed, unfortunately. And so there are medical reasons, there's these chemical reasons, and there's the social reasons. It's a combination.
And how much of a problem is this? Of course, most things these days are made out of plastics. Are presumably the manufacturers, the government in the US is aware of this problem, if you are, and the research is being done. But what is the solution? Is you know, we hear all the time that there's lots of plastics in the sea. Is this just something now that we can't avoid, or are there things that we can actually do about this?
Again, you hit several answers simultaneously. So part of the problem is we need to get rid of plastics and find some substitutes that are not hormone disrupting agents. That's number one, but that's a multi-generational problem. Number two, individually, we can try to limit our exposure as much as possible to the chemicals and plastics, but those phthalates, those endocrine disruptors, are not only in plastics, they're in our processed food, they line tin cans, they're in sunblock, they're in cosmetics, They're even in concrete. You know, they're in vinyl flooring. And you can absorb it through your skin. You can absorb it when you ingest it, and you can absorb it through your lungs. And not only is 95% of tap water in the US have plastic in it, but 100% of the air over every continent on Earth has microscopic plastic in it that we inhale. So the major hormone, and this is what people don't understand and that doctors are not taught about in med school on purpose. The major hormone in both men and women their entire life, and the oldest hormone evolutionarily, is testosterone. And so while right now we're more than 60% deficient compared to 1970, which accounts for this rapid rate of chronic disease, because as I said, testosterone controls inflammation and diabetes and obesity and heart disease and strokes and dementia and all these emotional issues like depression. So we need to augment and supplement young adults, many of them, with testosterone pellets, which is something that's been used in Europe and the US since 1939 and now is probably rarely used in Europe and just starting to have a resurgence in the US, where you put a little, like a small Tic Tac candy, into the fat, into a woman or a man, and it lasts 3 months in women and 4 months in men, and it sort of supplies what those phthalates have been suppressing. And that reduces heart attacks and strokes and depression and breast cancer and all those sort of things.
How much, because obviously there's other influences here as well, isn't there? You know, people talk a lot about the food system, what people are eating, not just the fact that there might be plastics and other poisonous things, but the fact that the actual food we're eating is no good as well. I mean, how much of a problem do you think this is versus all of these other factors as well?
Well, I think it is a big problem. If you could have food even with, let's say, less mineral content, less nutrient content, because we're mass producing our food on sand, basically with fertilizer, in a lot of cases, we'd still be better off than we are now with the phthalates and the hormone disrupting agents that are contaminating our food. However, you know, going back to small farms, you know, locally grown produce, locally grown meats, locally harvested eggs, those sort of things are going to be much healthier for us. But that's not really the way the world has evolved, has it, James? It's evolved into a big industrial complex where you can mass produce things at a much better price and have better revenues and undercut the local farmers, which have very labor-intensive type activities. So we're going down the wrong path, that's for sure.
And the people responsible for this, the people that own you know, these big chemical plants and manufacturing processing processes, now with food you always hear the fact that, you know, the same companies that own the fast food companies, which are causing helping to cause a lot of these illnesses, also own the companies which make the pills to make people better. And you can kind of see how, well, these people don't care because they're so rich that they can kind of offset this. With these plastics, though, it does present a different problem, because presumably nobody can escape this if it's in the water, if it's in the air. So what are they doing about this? What are the politicians saying? What are our leaders in manufacturing saying about this?
Well, we're trying to get them to say something about it, but it's not a 10-second soundbite. It's not a politically easy solution. There's real world issues with trying to phase out these types of plastics. And that's why I said it's really multi-generational. You're going to need to have brilliant people figure out different products that are going to replace phthalates and plastics and those sort of things in our environment. And then it's going to take an extremely long time, decades, to clean it out of the water. And so this is an issue that's going on. You know, you're right about the cross-contamination of these cultural revenues, because if you look at the U.S., 96 cents of every Medicare dollar, which is like, you know, your National Health Service for people 65 and older, goes to chronic diseases. If we treated those people with testosterone pellets, we would reduce chronic disease by 50%. Okay, but the pharmaceutical industry, 90% of their revenue comes from treating but never curing or preventing chronic disease. And they're also the largest lobbying group by a factor of two. So the politicians would have to help and enact this as a change in healthcare, but they would be cutting, you know, the hand that feeds them. You know, 90%, if I cut pharma revenue by 50% by putting pellets in everybody, that tanks them, and then the political donations certainly would dry up.
What, I mean, do you think the American public are waking up to this, particularly after the events over the past 4 years? I think there has been a wake up in terms of the pharmaceutical, the power of the pharmaceutical companies and how intertwined they are with the politicians, the bankers. You know, there's a lot of question marks over the vaccines. I don't want to go jump down that rabbit hole. But I think, you know, the public has woken up to the fact that maybe these pharmaceutical companies haven't got their best interests. What for where you sit, do you think enough of the population are aware of this problem?
I think that if there was anything good that came out of the entire COVID debacle and vaccine debacle, it was the fact that the public has woken up that the pharmaceutical industry does not have their best interests at heart, and that the federal government is working with the vaccine or the pharmaceutical industry to censor any diverse opinions. And that has really raised a lot of anger in the people that I see. I would say 80% of the people I see in my office, in my plastic surgery practice and in my hormone pellet practice, are furious. They're furious with what the government did to them, how they lied to them. And it's just getting deeper and deeper. The Supreme Court today, as a matter of fact, is hearing a case where the states have sued the federal government over pressuring social media to cancel people, including me, who had things to say that were truthful about the vaccine and about COVID, but they just didn't want the public to know.
Yeah, and what do you make as well about Trump? Obviously, you've got a big election this year in America. Trump still seems to be pushing the vaccines as a very positive thing, which is curious to us sitting over this side of the pond, because as far as I can see, you know, I mean, I have lots of Americans on this show, and they talk about absolutely, you know, the nightmare of lockdowns and the vaccine mandates and all of that. What do you think is going on there? Do you think Trump realizes that and this is just all politics? What's going on there?
I think we have two very imperfect choices for the election coming up. As far as my personal opinion, I think that Trump is by far the better of the two choices, because the other choice isn't really running government. However, that doesn't mean he's a great choice. And his Operation Warp Speed was what he felt would be an accomplishment. And he has a rather large ego, to put it mildly. And so it would take a lot for him to admit that it was a total unmitigated disaster. He did go against his instincts in pushing that and trusting Dr. Anthony Fauci. And now we know in hindsight that Dr. Anthony Fauci lies a great deal and profited millions and millions of dollars personally by pushing a vaccine that was neither safe nor effective.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I can't believe Dr. Fauci is still walking free, given all the evidence that we have now about what he was up to, particularly on the, you know, all of these experiments they're doing with viruses in Wuhan and other places around the world. It really is quite shocking. Mark, where do people go to find out more about you? Do you write a blog? Have you got a website?
I think the best way is the website is nobodywantsyouhealthy.com. I think that's the best place to go. If they want to find out more about the hormone therapy, they can go to myhormonetherapy.com. But as far as the book and the website and the podcast, it's nobodywantsyouhealthy.com.
Fantastic, Mark. Well, listen, thank you for coming on the Freeman Report. What's your plans? What are you doing at the moment? Are you lobbying government? Are you lobbying politicians?
That's an interesting point. So there's no way to really change healthcare by approaching it front on and reducing chronic diseases by 50%, because you're pushing a multi-trillion dollar industry and you're not going to win. And I'm looking towards, you know, changing the Veterans Administration, because I could probably, the pellets probably could reduce suicides by about 75%, because it relieves depression and helps the brain recover from traumatic brain injuries and that sort of thing. But even that may be too heavy a lift. So I'm really doing it sort of on an individual basis. And when the president changes in the next election, I'm working with the former director of health policy for the previous Trump administration, and see what we can do to make America and hopefully the world a much healthier place, much happier place, and a much more sane place.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, Mark. I mean, it does worry me, the amount of plastics that is in the sea, that is in our water and all around us. It is something I think we've got to sort out over the next couple of decades, definitely. Mark Richards, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Mark, for joining me on the Freeman Report.
No, thanks for inviting me, James.
Thank you. Right, okay, we're going to take a quick break now, but of course now the show is 2 hours, so I'm going to be back after a very short break in just a minute. So don't go anywhere, stay with us right here on TNT.